How did I know you were going to want to talk about the Double Down? I had this feeling.
Dude, that shit's a sign of the apocalypse.
My name is Eric, and this is Joe, and you are listening to Facts Are Meaningless. I guess when I say this is Joe, I should let you say hi, so that people...
Hi, my name is Joe.
There, that's better, because now they'll know your voice versus mine. Because, you know, so many new people are tuning in every week. Making us the podcast du jour of the interwebs.
We're a diamond in the rough.
Yes, I'm not even sure we're a diamond. What's less than a diamond?
Quartz.
Quartz. We're the crystal you hang around the neck for your healing.
We're some type of igneous rock. Let's just put it that way.
In the rough.
Wait, is quartz igneous? Oh, never mind.
I don't even know what words you are using. Is that like? Is that a form of cloud? No, that's cumulus. I don't know.
Right. Igneous, sedimentary, and metamorphic. I just can't remember which quartz is.
You just blew my mind. I don't know what you're talking about, because you know what I remember most about Earth science class was that my friend Mark's dad was our teacher. He had a box of yardsticks made of white plastic. Uh-huh. To get our attention, he would take one out of the box, and when nobody was paying attention, he would bring it up over his head like a samurai sword and bring it down on the table that he sat at the front of the class, and it would shatter like glass, and shards of plastic would fly everywhere.
That seems somewhat
dangerous.
Not safe.
That's nothing, because my brother, and by the way, this was the wedding I was at last weekend. It was his son getting married, this teacher.
Uh-huh.
My brother was telling me a story when he was in the same guy's Earth science class. One day, Mr. Smith got up and walked around to all of the lab tables and turned on the gas that was there for the Bunsen burners. He turned it all on. First he closed the windows, then he turned on the gas, and then he walked out of the room and closed the door. And the kids all sat around for a few minutes like, what's going on? I wonder what he's doing. And then they realized, oh, he's trying to kill us to get our attention. So they turned the gas.
Crap.
They turned the gas off, and eventually he came back and was like, "Are you ready to shut down and shut up now?" Ah. He talked kind of like the Penguin.
Wow. Well,
that was the state of American public schools 25 years ago.
It's probably worse today.
I'm sure it is.
I mean, I'm sure that those types of stunts would, you know, don't fly because they'd immediately be all over the news. But is our children learning in spite of it? I don't know. Talking about technology and schools is an excellent segue into our first topic.
We love segues, especially the two-wheel kind that you can steer by moving side to side without...
I was going to say I hate those things.
Have you ever actually been on a Segway scooter?
I have been on one, but every time I think of it, I think of Job on it. I just think of like a huge douche, you know, riding around on those things. So,
wait, who on it? Job?
Job.
As in the guy from the Bible?
No. Oh, I'm very ashamed of you right now.
Job. I don't know. Oh.
Bluth?
Yeah, but it's not. It was. You're right. It is Job. You're right. You know why I have a problem with that? It's because every time the name was written out, it was spelled with a G. So for some reason in my head, Job Bluth on Arrested Development is Gob.
Okay.
And I don't know why, because I know I never saw it. They never pronounced it that way. You're right. Job was because when you said that, I thought you were mispronouncing Steve Jobs' name. I was hoping to catch you in a screw up, and instead I look like a total idiot.
Touché.
Yes. That was perfect.
By the way, Arrested Development episodes are streaming on Netflix. I highly recommend them.
Really? All three seasons?
All three seasons.
Sweet. I might actually go back and watch that because I want to see.
I've got the DVDs around here, but I'll tell you, it's a lot easier to stream on Netflix than screw around with discs.
Oh yeah. I want to see little Michael Cera grow up.
Yeah, that's right. going to talk about the end of manned spaceflight.
What?
It's right there on the agenda.
Oh, okay. Then I guess we better talk about it. Wait, was this – is this an announcement? Is this like something that the Obama administration has said, no more men in space?
Yeah, this has been in the news pretty much for the last 4 or 5 days nonstop. And it probably shouldn't be called the end of manned spaceflight because they haven't officially ruled it out. But they basically put the kibosh on the Constellation program, which was supposed to be the follow-up to the space shuttle. So for the time being, for the foreseeable future, manned spaceflight is finished. And we're going to be hitching rides with the Russians if we want to get up to the space station because the shuttle is going to be retired, I think, this year.
The shuttle should be retired, shouldn't it? I mean, isn't the maybe not the technology, but at least the design of that thing about 25 years out of date at this point?
Well, yeah, just about. I mean, no, we have more actually. It took its maiden. I mean, it was designed and built in the 70s. Its maiden flight was in the 81. So that was 30 years ago almost.
So NASA has saved an infinite amount of money reusing this thing. You know, this design, if not the shuttles themselves, but well, there's got to be better designs now, right? To take us into space, aren't there?
Well, but see, that it doesn't matter because we're not going into space. And that's my issue because I wish we had talked about this like a few days ago because as soon as I heard this, I got really pissed off, and since then, a bunch of astronauts have come out against it. But I don't want to feel like I don't want to make it seem like I'm jumping on their bandwagon. Like, basically,
yeah, because who would want to side with astronauts? Those fucks.
Well, because you know, basically, the idea their problem is that if we're no longer going into putting people into outer space, then we're going to become a mediocre power. And I think that's absolutely true. I think if you need any evidence that this country is in a decline, then just look at the fact that we've gone from basically being pioneers in space exploration. It's not just about sending people up there. It's about all of the inventions and discoveries that were made as a result of that program of putting people.
We have Tang now.
Right, and dehydrated ice cream pellets. But, I think it was Armstrong, Cernan, and Fred Hayes of Apollo 13 fame came out against it, basically saying this was a terrible idea and it's going to relegate us to second or third rate status as a technological power. And but then Buzz Aldrin sided with Obama.
Well,
but he's on Dancing with the Stars. He's on Dancing with the Stars, so you can't really take seriously anything he would say. But it's too bad. I really think that it was supposedly this program, this Constellation program, they already spent $10 billion on it and nothing to show for it, and you know, I realize that there's not unlimited funds, but you know, it's not even so much about the direct stuff that results from that program. It's like there's like talking about schools. There's little kids in the 50s and the 60s that became our scientists today because of, you know, astronauts of the space program. And you need to – it has to have a high profile.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I'm not gonna say that I'm against this or that I disagree with you at all, but just to play the devil's advocate a little bit, I mean – the two things I can think of is that, number one, this boils down to money because we got none, the country-wise, you know, because it all got pissed away over the last 12 years.
Right.
So that's number one. I mean, if we had a surplus rather than a deficit, this would be a whole different matter right now. And let's face it, George W. Bush told complete fabricated bullshit lies to make people like you happy when he was saying, "Ah, we're going to Mars and we're going to build a base on the moon." It's like that was never going to happen. He was lying because there was no way that the government was going to afford it, let alone, you know, allow it to go through. You know, that it just boils down to the cash on hand, I think. But number two, when you say like, yeah, if people became scientists, you know, I don't know. I'd argue that more people became engineers because they saw Star Trek and thought Mr. Scott was cool, you know, by pulling the ass of the Enterprise out of the fire all the time, than became engineers because they watched the moon landing. But then again, I could be wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're wrong because by the time Star Trek aired, the last Apollo flight was in 72. So by the time Star Trek, I mean, we hadn't gotten on the moon yet, but most of the program had wound down, at least up until the shuttle started. Mm-hmm. And as far as the money's concerned, yeah, I mean, I definitely think that, you know, God knows we don't have, you know, there's not a lot of money these days and you have to prioritize, but I got to think that there are, I mean, we're pissing away hundreds of billions of dollars and all kinds of, I mean, there are probably weapons programs and planes and shit that we're spending gobs of money on. Yeah. See, gobs, not jobs. you know, that are benefiting, you know, a couple of defense contractors, and that even like, you see stories about even like the military doesn't want these things, but yet, you know, some companies got a politician in their pocket, so they keep producing this crap. Seems to me like if we really wanted to, we could find money to keep a manned space program going, and the fact that we don't have the will to do it is the death knell of technological innovation in this country.
Of science. Science is dead.
Yeah. Well, it will be if the Tea Party ever gets power.
There's a lot of people who would love to say science is dead. Fuck science. Right. It's like, you know, we're all 6,000 years old and, you know, et cetera, and there was a bunch of fake dinosaur bones planted by God just to fuck with us.
That's right.
You know, you're right. Those people would love to see this, and they were far more concerned with making sure we have stealth flight bombers and drones, you know, to keep an eye on our supposed enemies.
Right.
You know, but that's another part of the problem, and could be the solution, is that people like that, if they make sure that we have an enemy – if the enemy was something other than a terrorist enemy, like, say, China, and we were in competition with them again, then we'd be back to the 50s. Because let's face it, we would have had no manned space flight. We would have had no chimps in space and no dogs in space and no robots and no Tang had it not been for those crazy red Ruskies that we were so afraid of in the 50s.
That is a very interesting and good point. You're right. I mean, the presence of the Soviet Union, I think, I mean, we got a late start, you know, and they beat us to, what was it, low Earth orbit. And I mean, we got to the moon first, but pretty much all the other milestones first.
They had a guy in orbit first, right?
Yeah. Gagarin was the first guy to orbit.
I think
Sputnik was the first artificial satellite.
Exactly.
But see, the thing is, I think that it probably would help as a motivational factor if China, you know, with China's rise as a world power, which I think is pretty much inevitable, mm-hmm. but the variable here is going to still be getting back to money. You know, back in the, you know, after World War II, the boom years, economy expanding, the money was there. Now, you know, this whole fucking country is based on financial flim-flam transactions instead of actual, you know, doing stuff. So I don't think that there's going to be the funds, you know, irrespective of whether there's a, you know, a motivational China, you know, to make us feel like we need to get back in.
And I think corporations having so much control now, more than they ever did in the past, could be a factor. Let's face it, if Walmart said, we're going to put a man on the moon, they could afford it.
Yeah.
Not the U.S. government, but Walmart could.
Right.
You know, if Apple said that they were going to spend some time on technology to get people to the moon, you know, that could work. I mean, it'd be fascinating to see Google and Walmart and Microsoft and I don't know who. What's another big corporation that I'm not thinking of? Comcast. Mm-hmm. You know,
then, yeah.
At least they'd have cables.
You mean Cabletown?
Cabletown to the moon. But you know, it's a different world than it was in the 50s, and we're, you know, I don't know if it's better or worse, you know, when it comes to that kind of thing, but, you know, it's certainly better because, I don't know. I can't think of anything. Oh, shit, well, the world is worse. Oh, fuck.
I hope I'm wrong, but I think that this is the latest nail in the coffin of this country. So, and you know, this country, in spite of what these tea bag dipshits say, you know, this country's not going to the dogs because of socialism or taxes or healthcare or any of that stuff. It's going to the dogs because we're a bunch of fucking idiots and we prioritize the wrong things.
We haven't talked about the fact that I have an iPad and it's pretty fucking awesome.
An iPad?
Remember that? It was this little thing, little known thing.
Is that a feminine hygiene product?
It is, but it's got electronics in it, so it whenever the woman's cycle starts, it zaps them.
Is that something I put on my face for blemishes?
You should just put the feminine hygiene product on your face. It would be an improvement all around, motherfucker. Yeah, funny. So, iPad. Yes. Look at this. I mean, I bought this app called Sketchbook Pro, and my girlfriend, like, made art of the dogs with, like, colors. Take a picture of that. That's pretty.
Is that a real mouth in the center?
No, it's like they she did a color overlay and then kind of negated it out.
I was gonna say because that's like frowny dog.
Frowny. Okay.
All right, I got it.
And you know, it's not gonna replace a computer. I'm not going to write the great American novel on this ever. And to be honest, I bought the wireless keyboard. It's sitting over here behind me. Never took it out of the box. Have yet to hook it up because I just haven't cared because I haven't needed to type anything on it more than a password.
Well, you may not write the Great American Novel, but I think Steve Jobs is more interested in whether you'll read the Great American Novel.
And that is definitely where this thing excels because the Kindle app, you know, just by itself is pretty phenomenal. I even found a graphic novel to read on it.
Wait, the Kindle app for iPad?
For iPad, yes.
So it's not the iPod app that's scaled up. It's actually a new app?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally new app. I mean, in fact, that seems to be the way things are going. About the one major app on my iPhone that I'm still using on the iPad is Facebook because they haven't come up with a new version, which you don't really need anyway because you can just go on the web and use the Facebook page.
Right.
So that's kind of silly. But like even dictionary.com has, you know, this gigantic interface, which is nothing more than a search box at the top to fill in the 10-inch screen. But it looks better than the little tiny one in the middle of the screen. And, you know, some of the things that are really innovative, I mean, dude, let me tell you, I have never played a better version of Scrabble than I ever have on this thing. I mean, it is just the way to do it. You make your move, you hand it to the next person, they get to make their move, it keeps track of everything, it's got a built-in dictionary, you know, it's phenomenal.
Now you're talking about just using it exclusively on the iPad because I read something about you use your iPod as your tray.
You can, and I haven't bothered to download that because, you know, it seems silly to just have it for one tray, you know, and your tray is on your screen on the iPad, so it doesn't really matter. It's a really nice piece of hardware that not everybody can afford and not everybody should afford. And if you've got more money than you need laying around and you like books and you want to, and you're sick of having shelves after shelves of them. Like I donated 72 books to the local book sale, booksale.org here in Ithaca today because I'm not going to get around to reading them anytime soon. And if I do need them, I can get them on here, you know, or I can get them cheap at the book sale, to be perfectly honest. But, you know, they're just taking up space.
Well, I bash the iPad, but I would like one. But my two main issues are, number one is the cost.
Yeah.
And number two, I mean, see, I can't see any product being this revolutionary if it costs $500, you know, because the average person, and it's not even like an iPhone where that's a cell phone and people are going to get cell phones anyway, so they might consider the iPhone. This is purely a discretionary thing. And for $500, I don't see how it's going to remake the landscape of media the way, like, you know.
All right. Well, but here, think about the Kindle. Like, the Kindle is, what, $299, I think?
Right.
You know, that does one thing.
No. I agree with you on that. I think the Nook is toast, and the Kindle probably is not far behind it.
Yeah.
The Kindle's going to have to become a $100 product in order to still be
– Agreed. You know. And I just look. Kindle is $259 right now for the base model. And, you know, it's – so you double that price and you can do 1,000 more things.
Right.
You know, I mean, comic books, reading, Netflix videos, ABC, TV shows, Scrabble, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, obviously you pay a lot more to, you know, to get some of those apps, but totally worth it, I think.
But you know what? That's actually something I wanted to ask you about, because I had read that you know, you showed me the dictionary.com thing before. You can land a plane on that thing, yeah. Right? So because the apps have all this more space to play with, it's not simply a matter of iPod app on iPad. These apps are going to have to be completely redone. They're going to get a lot more, you know, a lot more work goes into them. And instead of paying $1 or $2 or $5 for an app, you're going to be paying 10 and 20 and 30. And,
in theory,
you know, is somebody going to spend, you know, and it's funny because on a PC, you could find an app that does almost anything you want it to for free or very nearly free. And, mm-hmm. you know, are people going to, you know, spend $500 on a iPad and then spend a couple $100 more on apps?
I've only purchased 2 apps. I mean, I've filled this thing with apps. There's probably, you know, I don't know, 40 apps running on this thing, some of which I had on my iPhone because they're still useful on here. But all mm-hmm. the rest I got are like the top, say, 25 free ones that are useful, you know, and they're great. I mean, the dictionary app is a little crazy, you know, but, you know, it's better this way because it takes advantage of the full keyboard. You know, it'll even pronounce words for you, which I'm not sure you can, you know, you can get. Here, like, let me play this one for you.
Fuck. 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 Fuck.
Really?
Really?
I'm surprised that's not screened out.
I know, but look at it. It's right there. It's the every dirty word you can imagine. In fact,
And just so we're clear, this is dictionary.com, not the urbandictionary.com.
That's right. In fact, I just looked up, and, you know, the term fuck a duck is on dictionary.com, you know? An exclamation, oh hell, an expression of anger or distress, as in fuck a duck, I don't want to do it.
I've never heard that phrase before.
You've never heard fuck a duck before?
No.
Never.
I've never heard that word used in association with waterfowl.
Yeah. They're nothing close to each other. I mean, fuck around is in here. I mean, just it's crazy what's in dictionary.com. And
I think this is going to be called the expletive not deleted podcast. Because there's more fucking in this podcast than Tiger Woods' last 3 years.
And this is based on the Random House Unabridged Dictionary. So, I mean, it's got to be because it's unabridged, because I'm assuming
your
average Random House dictionary off the shelf. I don't know. Can you even buy a dictionary on the shelf anymore? It's been so long since paper dictionary.
Yeah, you can.
You know, an interface for a website, and that's one of those things that seems kind of silly.
Mm-hmm.
With this, because it is such a great thing for surfing the web, but then again, it's, you know, it's just infinitely faster to find that icon and just bop right in there,
right?
You know? But it's probably why they won't make one necessarily for Facebook in this interface. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what. In spite of my reservations about it, if there's one feature that they would add, I would be sure to buy it at some point, and that is multi-user support.
You and I have talked about this before. You are hung up on multi-user support because you are a guy who knows that is smart. I'm telling you, much like teabaggers, most of America doesn't get it and would never bother to do it. And that doesn't negate that it's a good feature to have.
It's a great feature to have, because if the argument is, oh, this iPad is so much better than a netbook or a notebook and it's a great computer to have around the house, on the coffee table, in the kitchen, blah, 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 then by definition, unless you live alone, it's a shared computer. And as soon as it's a shared computer, you know, you want to be able to have multiple profiles, not for, you know, privacy necessarily, but just for convenience so that people aren't stepping on each other's emails or browsing sessions, or people could have different apps. And for something, you know, I can understand for an iPad, a $200 product that fits in your pocket, it's unambiguously personal. But for a $500 tablet that, you know, absent the 3G, is pretty much destined to be a around-the-house computer, it really should have had some semblance of multi-user support. Because, again, the price, $500, is a lot easier to rationalize if you can share it amongst people rather than, it, you know, this is my $500. You know, if it was $300, different story. But $500?
No, I see your point, and I've already experienced this, because, like, I've got my Facebook app on here and it's mine, but if somebody here wants to use it, you know? I mean, it's all my
right.
my friends. You know, you're right. With the email thing, that's probably the most obvious one. You know, even with the iPod, you know, being able to have some, you know, the iPod function having some of your music and then the other person have their music, et cetera. And there might be a way to set some of that up simply through iTunes, but I guess it wouldn't really work because you'd have to resync it to iTunes every time you wanted to change users, which would be ridiculous.
Right. Right.
So, all right. Well, I'll start the. I'm joining you. I'm with you on this campaign. I'm going to start proclaiming that updates to the software for iPad should start including multi-user support sometime down the road. It's not going to happen.
That's not in 4.0, right?
No, it's not in 4.0. We're gonna get fake multitasking in 4.0.
Right.
Yay. I think there's some other actually useful stuff in 4.0, but I forget what they are because. It mostly has to do with advertising and Apple turning into a mobile ad company.
Right.
Thank God for that.
Yeah.
It means Google is free and clear to like become a mobile ad company because the FCC was gonna like breathe down their neck and now the FCC will be like, eh, whatever. They don't care as long as there's competition.
I couldn't watch them come out with the Google Pad.
Well, they're definitely working on a Google Pad. I mean, that Google OS thing that they're talking about for netbooks, I can guarantee you that thing's going to be on a tablet. There's no way they wouldn't do that.
Right.
The thing is a tablet with just a browser on it useful? Because that's what Juju, or the former Crunchpad, wanted to be, and it has proven to be an utter disaster. They only sold 90 of those things. And it was on sale well before the iPad. Whereas, arguably, the iPad is successful because it has an entire ecosystem of apps that do very specific things that don't get people all, you know, a Twitter or trying to find things on a website or whatever. There's no reason that a Google Pad shouldn't work because there already is an ecosystem of apps for Android.
Right.
You know, if those things worked and ported to a larger screen, then that should work too on the Google Chrome OS. But I don't know what that – is that going to be Android or is it going to be – you know, Android is based on Linux, right?
Mm-hmm.
In some way.
Well, so is OS X and the iPhone OS as well.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure about – because those are like Unix. I'm never quite sure. Like Unix and Linux, they've like a – there's a difference in there because of the kernel or something at the heart of it all. I don't know.
Yeah, Unix is the older trademarked, you know, that's owned version of it, whereas Linux was kind of derived and is open source technically.
Like, that's beyond my pay grade. I don't know.
Mine too.
Nor do I really care because as long as I have a nice shiny glass screened thing to carry around and take into the toilet to read digital books, I'm a happy man. But I wish
good for you.
But I do wish it had a camera because if it did, I'd take a picture of me reading a book on the toilet.
I think I speak for everybody when I say I'm very glad that it doesn't have a camera.
Talk of the Double Down.
Oh, good God.
Now, I've only seen pictures of it, and I know at least one guy in New York who went to get one and then immediately Twittered that he felt sick. Like, literally felt sick. Not like he was, you know, just saying, oh, I ate it and I feel sick. He was like, I could feel the vomit inducingness coming through his fingertips just from this 140-character tweet.
Well, just the notion of it makes me sick. They're actually putting commercials on down here. But the funny thing was, I think I read on Consumerist on April Fool's Day about this thing, and it's just it's exactly the type of thing you would. It's so ludicrous a concept that it's the perfect fake, you know, April Fool's gag, and the notion that it's actually a real thing is actually just horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's absolutely horrifying. Patton Oswalt should be – I mean the famous Bowles, he should be writing a new bit on this thing. It's just – unbelievable.
My friend Dan posted something on Facebook about it, and he said, finally the answer to every fat boy's question, oh, am I really going to die from one sandwich? And it's not even really a sandwich. It doesn't even begin to qualify as a sandwich. There is no bread involved at all.
Right.
I mean, there's breading, if you count the fact that it's the original recipe, right? The skin on it.
Right.
No, which is delicious, to be perfectly honest. I mean, I grew up eating Kentucky Fried Chicken when it was still Kentucky Fried. And that's good stuff, man. I mean, I can still crave it sometimes.
Well, do you know, is the McGriddle still a thing? Because I thought that was out a while ago, and I'm not sure if it bit the dust or not. But it's the same type of thing. I mean, it's just an abomination.
Yeah, no, it is definitely
still
a thing. Okay. Yes, like syrup-soaked.
Syrup-infused waffles on either side of sausage and eggs. And it's the same thing with this thing. Chicken as bread with – I mean, it's just – ugh. I'm not a food snob. You know what I mean? I'm not one of these people that are like, how could you eat that?
I've
only set foot in a Whole Foods about three times in my life.
And I've seen I've seen you eat a whole bucket of lard with a spoon, and it had like a clump of dog hair.
You saw that?
When you ate around the clump of dog hair, that was the most impressive part. But yeah, I kind of feel like you and I need to make a pilgrimage to the old KFC sometime now. And just try one. Maybe we'll split it so we don't have an instant heart attack.
Well, the next time one of us is at either's place, do you have a KFC up there? You must.
No, well, we'd have to go to Syracuse, I think, to get to a KFC. There's nothing in Ithaca.
Oh, screw that. Well.
Yeah. traveling to have a heart attack? Are you mad?
There's one 10 minutes from here. I'm not going to eat. I pledge to you I will not eat one until you are here to partake in the joys. All right.
Okay, cool. We'll take your baby Erica to watch us eat it and see if we survive, and then she will have to fend for herself. A small child.
Let me make sure my life insurance is paid up before we do that.
Sounds delicious.
I have a question for you.
All right, ask me your question. I shall give you an answer.
I think we may have talked about this once before, but
is this about tipping?
Yeah. This is about takeout tipping when you do takeout.
Yeah, okay? I don't believe in it.
You don't?
No. Why would you? They didn't bring anything. They put stuff in a bag. You don't tip people at Target when you get stuff in a bag.
That's probably the best analogy I can think of, for, you know, in terms of comparison. Because this is the thing. I mean, we do takeout a lot. You know, like from regular sit down places. I'm not talking about, you know, like the corner Chinese place.
You're
or something.
You're talking about like Chili's.
Right, Chili's or Apple. Carrabba's or, you know, that type of.
Carrabba's has takeout?
Oh, yeah. But they don't deliver from Syracuse. I'm talking about places where you would typically sit down and eat, but that they also have takeout. And I do stuff like that a lot. Okay. And every time I get presented with that credit card receipt, we has the tip line on it. Now, I realize that it's the same machine that generates every bill in the place, so it's not like they're going to take the tip line out for takeout. But on one hand, I feel like the mere presence of that is an implicit, you know, expectation of a tip on one hand. And I think to myself, well, you know, there was work involved in like getting all this stuff together. They have to like, you know.
Okay, but there's work involved.
But on the flip side, I had to go get it and nobody waited on me for an hour.
Yeah.
So I feel like on one hand, I feel like, you know, it clearly doesn't deserve a conventional 15-20% tip.
No way. Yeah.
But on the other hand, maybe not paying anything is a little bit too.
No.
You know, I don't know. I don't feel like I should. I don't know. I'm not sure what to – every time I do this, which is like at least once a week and sometimes twice a week, it really bothers me. I need to be told the correct
– I'm going to tell you, and this is with the caveat that you are talking to a guy who has been traveling around the country for work for many years. Since 1992, I've gone many places, and it only – I was only told or found out within the last 2 years that – many people actually tip the people who clean up their rooms at the hotel. I've never done that outside of leave a couple quarters behind on a table on accident. Never done that. So there is that caveat. But number one, you know, but I was a waiter for many years when I was in college, and so I'm never, ever stiff a waiter on a tip. You know, even if they are the worst waiter in the world, they would have to spit in my food in front of me for me to not tip them. And even then, I might give 5%. Because everybody has a bad day. So, you know, I don't believe in the punishing a waiter because, you know, you got bad service thing. It's like you never had a fucking bad day at work. Then, right. Oh, so if you had a bad day at work, then maybe you shouldn't get paid. Is my, you know, if you think that you shouldn't ever tip people who, like, just didn't give you. Now, if you consistently go back and get the same exact waiter all the time and blah, 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 well, that's an issue. But then you bring it up to their boss. Okay.
Right.
So anyway, my point is, when you go to Starbucks and get coffee, do you tip? When you go to the deli, like even Subway, and buy a sandwich, do you tip? Do you tip at McDonald's? No.
No.
And so the only difference between these takeout places and those is that they might bring something out a door to your car.
I don't do that. Even though a lot of the places have like actual spaces and they say, you know, just call us and we'll come out. I'm like, how fucking lazy am I?
So you go into the building.
Yeah. I mean, always go into the
building. You definitely have no reason to tip because you are not.
Not a penny.
Not a penny.
Not even like a flat $2 or 5% or some like nominal amount.
No. Okay. Because the people who are going to bring you that food are also waiting tables inside. Let's face it. You know, the people who get screwed the most are probably the people in the kitchen doing the actual hard, sweaty work in theory. But, mm-hmm. you know, they're getting paid more than the people up front anyway.
Right.
You know, they have a skill that the, you know, let's face it. I mean, I was a waiter. I feel for waiters and waitresses, but – you know, if you could cook the food, you'd probably be back there cooking the food. Then again, you might not, because I know people who work in food service here in Ithaca who would not. I know one guy in particular, a friend of mine, who would not go work in the kitchen. And I found out about a job and I mentioned it to him that was like a cook job. He's like, I can't give up bartending. That's where the money is. And yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, he makes more doing that, which is
right.
You know, kind of crazy, but, you know, makes sense. Well, in a college town, certainly makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, rich, stupid, drunk students, you know, they're going to – I mean, he even told me that over spring break, it was like, spring break means ninth graders trying to get tequila shots. Like, oh, that's funny in a sad way, and yet I want to see this. So, yeah, dude, feel no guilt at all. There's no reason. What you do is you get that line, you put a line through it, and then on the total line, you just put the same amount that was above the tip line so that they can't fill it in. That's where they might get you. You know that, though.
Yeah, well, I would – if I ever saw somebody add that to my bill, I would go ballistic.
Go ballistic, yeah.
But, I mean, I just – I don't know. It's just – and I'm, you know, I'm good about tipping. We usually tip 20%, and we use coupons a lot, and it's funny because – when we use them, I always kind of see like the waiter's, you know, attitude change ever slightly, only because I think a lot of people, they automatically reduce the tip based on the reduction of the bill, which sure. we never do.
Yeah.
You know, we tip the full amount of the full bill. Figure, why should they pay?
Some people,
you know,
can't figure out a tip unless they see the money and they like, you know, double that first number, you know? So even
right.
if it's like, I mean, the people who do like, get a bill for $39 and then would put down like a $6 tip instead of an $8 tip. I mean, that's just lazy, lazy math.
Doubling doesn't work here because the sales tax is only 6%. So.
Oh, really?
I guess we could triple it.
Oh.
That would get us in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
But, yeah, okay. Well, then I'm not going to, because that's the thing. I just – it happens all the time, and I always feel like, you know, it just – something doesn't sit right about having a tip in that type of a situation. But I don't want to screw anybody. But then again, I don't want to, you know, have to pay for a service that I'm not getting.
I'm sure this could be the topic generator that actually gets people to actually like call and tell us, you know, we're wrong. I wonder if it could.
Well, I was actually going to submit it to Consumerist because there's been a lot of tipping stuff up there lately, like a pizza delivery was late and what was the one? Like if you order a pizza from Domino's, that they have a delivery charge. You know,
yeah.
It's like $1 or $1.50 or $2, whatever it is. And, you know, since you're paying a delivery charge, should you also tip? Or if the pizza's late, should you tip? And, you know, all these different tippings. The owner of a restaurant, like one guy got a food delivered to him and he recognized the person who delivered it as the owner of the restaurant.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean – I don't know. The only time I think that it's warranted for, you know, in that situation for a tip, you know, when you go to get the food, not for the delivery guy should get a little tip. But when you're going to get the food, the only time it should be warranted is if the person who hands you the bag is like so super hot that you just can't, like, you should tip her just for like giving you something to look at. And that's Eric's sexist advice of the day.
Trademark.
Trademark. Woo!
Due to my own screwing around, I didn't get last week's episode up, so we recorded another episode, and we're kind of munching them together into one uber episode of Facts Are Meaningless, so here's the rest of our meanderings from just a couple days ago.
Okay, so now you sent me a double down link today. Was that you with the horrible-looking double down sandwich thing?
Yeah, I believe the title of the post was Kentucky Fried Bullshit.
Yeah, that's the one. So is that what you didn't eat one of these things, did you?
No, we made a pledge.
That's true, we did. All right.
I'm really curious too, but I will not do it until you are here to partake in the joy.
All right.
But yeah, the gist of that link was that, you know, KFC's claim of 540 calories is BS, which I'm inclined to agree, because when I noticed that it was 540, I was like, that doesn't seem nearly enough for, you know, a sandwich like that. And I use sandwich loosely. But they basically did some math and they estimated it more than double, which I think it's probably true. But the thing I wanted to talk about to double down was, this is like pathetic, but when we talked about it last week, I had assumed it was a breakfast sandwich.
What? Really?
Yeah, because it's like bacon and cheese, and I guess I mentally put the egg in there even though it wasn't in there.
No, see, you only eat eggs, baby chickens, pre-hatched baby chickens for breakfast. Real chicken is for dinner. Right. See, that's how it works in America.
Isn't that some type of like truly horrendous thing if you like combine the chicken embryo with chicken flesh?
It's like, but a friend of mine today told me about a place in New York City that literally sells a sandwich with a sign up that says younger, like baby chicken meat or something like that. That's like the selling point, is that you are eating chickens before they are old.
So this is like chicken pedophilia or?
Well, I mean, I guess it's not really a big deal, because it's not like people – I mean, we don't necessarily in this country get up in arms over the age of the meat that we're killing to eat.
Wait, right? So let me guess. So this is your opportunity to eat like the tender flesh of young chickens before it's been ridden hard and put away wet?
Oh, that's – thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
But no, I said to him, well, do you mean there's an egg on the sandwich? I mean, that's the youngest chicken you could get.
Right. I want to eat a zygote. I don't want to eat.
Yummy embryo. This is delicious.
Well, actually, no, that's not good. We want the unfertilized egg, because if it's a zygote or an embryo, then it's basically like, you know, that's Ozzy Osbourne shit, I think.
Yeah, no, you don't want to like bite the heads off of things. So I don't know. I think that's an apocryphal story. I don't know that that's true. No, that's true. But was it a real bat or was it a fake bat?
No, I'm pretty sure it was a real bat, because actually there was a 10 questions with him in Time magazine not too long ago, and that was addressed. Apparently it was real.
And I want
the. It was the only time he did that, from what the article said, but.
Well, you only need to do it once, and then you get a reputation.
But I mean, you would think that people would expect that, you know, like, it's like, bite the bat. Bite the bat.
You know, you only have to murder one person to go to jail. You know, that's pretty much – you're solidified as a murderer.
True.
So, yes, you bite one head off a bat. You are solidified in history as a bat head eater.
Head biter, yeah.
Head bite – head. Yeah, I don't know what that word
it's
is.
It's like being Batman, but not in a good way.
Exactly the opposite of a good way. Horrible, horrible, horrible way.
Hmm.
So anyway, Double Down is not a breakfast sandwich.
It is not a breakfast sandwich.
And it does not have egg on it.
Right. And it is And it is not kosher because it combines pork, dairy, and meat.
Wait, what's pork on there? Are you serious? There's
bacon.
Oh, I didn't realize there was bacon on it. I thought it was just like two kinds of chicken and cheese.
No, see, that's why I thought it was a breakfast sandwich, because I saw cheese, I saw bacon, and that just made me think egg.
So hamburgers that come with bacon on it, are those for breakfast too in your world, in your planet?
No, and I guess that's what's kind of weird. I don't know why I surmised it to be a breakfast
sandwich.
But
they're
right. A bacon cheeseburger would not strike me as a breakfast sandwich. But when I saw, I guess, I don't know. It's just the concept. The notion of the sandwich is just so jarring to me that it just totally affects my brain and my thought patterns and stuff.
There are burger places around here that actually sell them with fried eggs on them too.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've not
Five Guys though.
No, not Five Guys. Five Guys they have a lot of good ingredients that they do put on their burgers.
Yep.
I haven't had Five Guys in a long time. I'm kind of craving it.
Me too, actually. I was just thinking about that. I haven't had it in months.
Yeah. It's been a while, because the last time I had it, I think I had it 3 times in 1 week, which was way too much.
I was going to say, you're really
– Yeah, that wasn't good.
You're really punishing your GI tract.
I pretty much knew I was not on a diet after the end of that week. That's how I guessed it. There's nothing like evidence piling up in the form of greasy paper bags, shiny greasy paper bags around your home. And then you realize, maybe you're not on a diet anymore, fat ass. Maybe not.
You know, that just made me think of that Simpsons episode. I'm sure you remember it. It's a long time ago. Yeah. Like, it's at least 10, 12 years ago when Homer's got to gain weight so he can go on disability. And Dr. Nick tells him that, you know, if he's not sure if a food is fatting enough, wipe it on a piece of paper. If it turns clear, it's your window to weight gain. And then he wipes it on the wall, and the bird flies.
I do remember that.
That's awesome.
Did they officially kill Dr. Nick?
I don't know. I haven't seen him prominently, and I think I've seen him just kind of like, you know, in the background without a speaking role. But
I thought I heard that when they killed him in the movie, when the part of the glass dome fell on him and killed him in the movie, that they were getting rid of the character.
I guess so. I mean, if they killed him in the movie, then, you know, we can't have the timeline all fucked up. This isn't Lost.
Yeah, heaven forbid. Yeah, we can't have that.
But then again, they did bring Maude back in some form, didn't they? Or was that a flashback episode or something?
You talking about Bea Arthur?
No, Flanders' wife.
Oh, that's always in memories. That's always
right.
Yeah, he's all right. I'm looking at Dr. Nick Riviere's entry on Wikipedia, and I don't see anything that says anything about a definitive death.
Okay. So, no, he's still alive in our hearts.
Yeah, always. I still enter a room saying, "Hello, everybody." Was that a terrible imitation? I don't
know. Actually, yes, because he says hi.
Oh, he says hi. Hi, everybody. Oh, that was good. Do it again.
Hi, everybody.
Last short tale to tell you.
Okay.
Have you ever used Google 411?
Is that 1-800-GOOG-411?
That's correct.
I have a couple of times, not often, but here and there.
I have used it in the past, and it was quite good. But, man, the last 2 times I used it, I was in the car with my cell phone, my iPhone, on the Bluetooth connection.
Uh-huh.
And I'd go in and I'd call it. Now, here's what was funny the last 2 times. All right. First off, I'm like, it would say, please name the business and the city and state. And I'd say the business, and I'd say blah, 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 Ithaca, New York. And the first time, it just couldn't get the business name, and then it finally got Ithaca, New York. And now the second time, I was trying to call a pizza place that I was going to drive to get a fucking pizza. And so it says, please name the business in the city and state. And I say, Sammy's Pizza, Ithaca, New York. And I enunciate it. I mean, I always enunciate on the phone because I know I'm a mush mouth. I know it helps. My grandma taught me that. So I enunciated, and the thing goes, New York, New York. And I'm like, no. I start yelling no at it because that makes it go back. I do this three times.
Bad Google.
Okay, now it's bad enough that I say, then I just start saying the city and state, because that's all it asks for. I'm Ithaca, New York, and New York, New York, and like, no! Then, here's what really kills me. Now, you know that noise that it makes when it, you know, when it's thinking? The
beep-doop-doop-doop-doop. Mm-hmm.
It did that, and it was literally a human voice making the noise. It was not a computer.
Are you kidding me?
It was not a computer-generated thing. Somebody either was on the line or Google recorded somebody that just went, just like that. That's literally what it sounded like. And it went on for a long time. I just hung up on it.
Oh, God.
But I am determined now to call that with Google with my Google Voice account. I want to call Google and I'm going to screw up, and I want to get that on audio, because that is
– you should do that.
That is effed up and very goddamn annoying.
Well, see, now I'm wondering, part of it could have been your Bluetooth connection, but even like Google Voice, when it transcribes voicemails, I mean, I'd say half the time it sounds like, you know, a translation of Chinese computer instructions. It's just totally wrong.
How that – is even considered, you know, worth releasing to the public. Well, I guess Google Voice is still beta, so maybe that is
what Google product isn't.
Yeah.
Isn't Gmail still beta? No, I guess it's
Gmail's
not. Gmail's final. Yeah. But Google Docs is still beta.
Google Docs, no, I don't think it doesn't say beta on it anymore, but I think it is considered beta. But what's interesting is that you can go into Gmail and go to the lab settings, and I think you can put a logo back on that still makes it say beta if you miss that.
Why would you really?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Because people are idiots. So anyway, I'm going to use Google 411 a lot from now on, and I cannot wait to just try it sometime. Screw up on purpose and tell me that it wasn't a human going, oh, that's a computer thinking noise. Thank you. You fucking engineer out in Sunnydale.
Is that somebody's idea of a joke?
It would have been funny had I gotten through to the pizza place. Instead, I pulled my car over, and then I went on Google with my iPhone, and I looked up Sammy's Pizza, Ithaca, New York, and I got it like that, and I made the call.
What irony would it be if Google had everything automated and computerized in terms of searching, but they couldn't quite get the computer sounds right? So they had to hire somebody to make the noise. That tells you it's working.
Yeah. Well, listen, this is what computers thinking sounds like.
Sounds like Tweaky.
See, that would have made me laugh my ass off. I'd have driven off the road if that had happened.
And you know what would have been even cooler? If the voice that reports the information sounded like Dr. Theopolis.
Bitty, 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 buck. Beep, beep. And did you know that there's a Buck Rogers movie in development?
Is there?
Yes. So here's hoping for Tweaky.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well.
And Dr. Theopolis.
Yeah. And Wilma Deering.
Oh, yeah. Well, Wilma goes back to the original Buck Rogers, like, you know, but
what they're gonna, is this gonna be a reboot where, like, I don't recognize any of the characters?
Well, no, you'll recognize Buck and Wilma, and that's it. I mean, every time that's the same.
So Dr. Theopolis will be like a man, will be like a human.
Well, you know, I don't.
Tweaky will be like a Asian woman.
Buck Rogers
will be a computer.
I don't know. I don't know if Dr. Theopolis was even in the original Buck Rogers, like the serials of the 30s.
Yes, he was.
Really?
He was it? Oh, whoa! Wait! I thought you were gonna.
No, the dish, the thing, you know.
No, no, no! I know what we're talking about. You said the original serialized, like, from the 30s. You're talking
about. Yes, from the 30s.
Oh, okay, I thought you were talking about the original movie that spawned.
No. Yeah, I knew that. Theopolis, recurring character, NBC television series, Buck Rogers, 25th Century, blah 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 blah. Do you know there's a whole Dr. Theopolis website? That's fucking
scary. Is there real?
The official.
I know that the guy who did the voice in the movie, they changed it for the TV show, and the guy in the movie was much better. But
oh, you know, it's a band called Dr. Theopolis. That's why.
Oh, okay.
I would name my band Wilma Deering instead, but that's just me. Actually,
I would name my Hawk. No.
Of all the fucking seasons to remember, that's not the one. All right. So anyway, bitty bitty bitty. Oh, that was pretty good.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Facts or Meaningless. It's been awesome.
Time to say adieu.
Adieu.
To you.
To you and you and you.
That is only three people that we have, right?
That's pretty much, yeah. But anyway, we're wrapping it up again for another week. We'll be back at some point, considering that we took, like, I don't know, 2 weeks off in between the last two times we recorded anything. That said, people, leave some comments. Tell us what sucks, what doesn't. You know, friend us on Facebook. I don't know. You know, send us mail.
Or you face.
You face? What?
30 Rock.
Oh, I haven't seen it this week. Was that on last week?
No, that was from last Christmas.
See,
remember?
Throwing reference.
Julianne Moore.
Your memory for these things is so much better than mine. You can quote shit from like season 3 of The Simpsons that I can't even begin to imagine what the fuck you're talking about sometimes.
Nah, see, I think season 3 has dropped out of my brain. I think I can only go as far back as like season 7 now.
Ah, well, that's a shame. But no, I'm sure there's some obscure crap in there that you get. I'm lucky I could pull dilithium crystals out of my ass.
Actually, that's a talent.
You know what I do is I put coal up there before the show starts. By the time we're done,
the intense heat and pressure.
I'm so angry and clenched up that I'm filled with crystals. Hey, look, we brought it back to crystals from the beginning. It's like we planned it.
You're a crystal shitter.
And with that, we're done.
Watch out, De Beers.